Good morning. I want to start by thanking each and every one of you that have participated in years past. It is such a blessing. Our children's ministry keeps growing, and this ministry is a big part of it. And like Pastor Rob said, this is our main event of the year. This is our only really big outreach that we do in the community. Of course, we're continually doing little things throughout the year, but this is kind of our gift to the community. And we just finished building a new Sunday school room out of garage doors. And I love these garage door Sunday schools. They go up really quick. And But we just built another class, and you guys are going to help us fill it. And just thank you so much. And, you know, it really is true. These children, the vast majority of them, will not get a gift for several years, churches would call me, and they wanted to go to an orphanage and give out boxes or Christmas gifts. And you go to these orphanages in Tijuana, and they're just filled with toys after Christmas because so many people go down there. And I kept trying to, get churches come down and give some gifts in the community. These children, it'll be the only gift that they get. It's a gift that you give them. And in the orphanage, you'll get 15, 20 gifts. But these kids have never received a gift. And don't know how it happened. I can't remember. It's been so long. But it was exactly what your church wanted to do. And so it's been a huge blessing for us. I think I told the story last year, but it really illustrates how precious these gifts are. And we had a few left over the year before last, and we have this mission in another area. So we went down there, and we gave out some of the gifts there. And there was a guy working with us over the Christmas holidays. And so he was there with the kids, and he watched these two kids. And one had some candy they had got from the store. And the other one had his box, and he had a big bottle of shampoo. And the kid with the candy wanted the shampoo. And so he goes, I'll give you this candy for the shampoo. And the kid looks at the candy, no way. And so the one kid, he upped the ante a little bit. And give it, this too for the shampoo. And he looked at it and said, no. So he upped the ante a little bit more. And this missionary said, I was just sitting there in amazement. I a kid in the U.S., look at the shampoo, poof. It's like, what'd they give me that for? That's worse than a T-shirt. And he upped the ante even more. And he gave, all that he had to give for the shampoo. And the kid, he looked at it, and he thought about it. And he goes, no, I'm keeping the shampoo. And these kids, very, very poor. In our community, another slum has opened up. They're on the hill where the church is, and it's just a sea of blue. That most of the homes still have dirt floors, very very small. Most of your garages or sheds are far far better than these homes. Dirt floor. It's just a sea of blue as you look over the hill and into the valley where they've built these homes. Just a sea of blue because their roof is only a tarp. A blue tarp is their roof. Very, very poor. So we'll be having a number of these children come this year. And probably children that have never, ever received any kind of a gift. And so it's just such a precious thing. And I want to thank you for them. And hope that as many of you as possible can make it down and see the smiles on these children's faces as they're ministered to in various ways. Every child hears a presentation of the gospel, they all get a tract in the box because that really is the most important thing. And so I just want to thank you, encourage you, as many boxes as possible. I don't know how many more kids will come this year, but every year the Lord has provided more than enough boxes. Last year you did some bags because it looked like there weren't going to be enough boxes as the date approached, so made up some bags, and we had enough boxes. We sent the bags down to some Indian groups. I have a friend who's a missionary, and sent the bags down there and blessed a bunch of children down further south. So thank you, and I just want to encourage you, get those boxes. and pray for our children, and pray for us in case we have to build another garage door Sunday school room afterwards. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Be talking about God's missionary mandate this morning. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. I usually don't teach in English, so I actually had a little bit of problem praying for the first service after I read. I pray and it didn't come real. It wasn't real fluid. a great privilege for me to be here with you. Let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning that you've given us, Lord, to gather together and lift our voices to you in praise. And Lord, such an awesome privilege to come before your very throne this morning and to be in your presence and to be accepted as your children. Lord, we pray that your word, Lord, would work in our hearts, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and that would teach us this day, Lord. We also pray that, Lord, that same Holy Spirit, Lord, that he would empower us, Lord, to be more than just hearers of the word, but to be doers also. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We look to you, Lord, to minister in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was, I became a Christian when I was 5 years old. I was lived next to a church. The church had a steeple. In the steeple, some crows had built a nest. So the plan was to climb up into the steeple with a friend of mine and steal these eggs that belonged to the crows. Praise God, the pastor's wife stopped us. probably saved us from breaking a body part, She stopped us and she shared the gospel with us. And she told me that Jesus had died for my sins and that he loved me and that he would be my friend forever, that he would live with me and never leave me. And that was great news, the best news I had ever heard. And I was only 5 years old. I had had a difficult childhood. I'd been abused at one point. Over half my body was burned, second-degree burns, because I had hot water poured on me, and so it was very, very difficult, and it was just good news, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it's never been the same since, and that's just how it all is with all of us. You know, Satan in one way or another is going to burn us, and Jesus is there to heal and to change, make us new, and one day take us to heaven. And after, you know, I was saved, I've been in church ever since then. I've been in church. It's been a part of my life. I've been to a bunch of churches. The very first church I went to after getting saved was a church where lots of missionaries, they talked about missions. They had missionaries in the Vacation Bible School to share with us and to tell us what an important part of the church's life to send people out into the uttermost parts of the world. And as I went to other churches, they were involved in missions and doing very various things, like your church here. And it had an impact on me, and I listened. But talking of missionaries coming and talking about the untold millions, I heard that term a lot, the untold millions that have never heard the gospel, the untold millions that have never heard the name of Jesus. And I listened, and I took it in, but it really never impacted me like I was impacted when I went on a mission trip to Thailand. We arrived in Thailand, we were in the central part, and we needed to go east, and so we went on these buses, me and a couple of friends, And while we were in one of the bus stations, there was an elderly woman, looked like she was about 200 years old. I mean, just total wrinkle, her face totally wrinkled. She, in Thailand, many of the women chew betel nut. And they put it in their lip and chew, and it spits out red. And it had eaten away her teeth. So all she had were these little bitty points of teeth, little sharp little points, and just as old as, you know, time itself. And, you know, she's there, and this friend of mine went up to her and through a translator asked, "Do you know Jesus?" And the woman responded, "What's a Jesus?" And when I heard that, I couldn't believe it. You know, these missionaries had talked about it, but to actually meet a person that had never heard the name of Jesus, she was probably 80-some years old plus, and have in all those years of her life to not know that Jesus was even a personal name, wondering what kind of a thing was a Jesus. And coming from a country where his name is battered about in some places on the television, you know, a common, you know, almost like a profanity, using it in a profane way, and this woman having never had the opportunity to hear his name, and thinking of all that Jesus had done in my life, and the change he had made in me, and thinking of what my life would be if it hadn't been for Jesus Christ and him saving me, not only in the life to come, but giving me an abundant life today. And this woman had never had the opportunity to hear his name and to know that there are millions upon millions of people like her in parts of India, China, North Africa. Christians are literally one in a million. There are so few workers in Northern Africa, Christian workers, that if we had the same proportion of Christian workers in North America, in Canada and the U.S., as there are in Northern Africa, we would only have 120 Christian workers in all of the U.S. and Canada. That's pastors, youth workers. That's it. Ramona probably would not have a single pastor. Not a single one. I don't know how many pastors, how many churches are here. But Ramona, maybe there would be one in Los Angeles, maybe one in San Francisco. But that would be it. What chance would you have? And if Christians were one in a million, what chance would you have of hearing the gospel? For 2,000 years, we've been working at getting out the gospel. In Luke chapter 24, verse 36, the scripture says, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." So here are the disciples. They've been ministering with Jesus for 3 years. He's gone to the cross, died, resurrected, spent about 40 days with them after the resurrection. And they had spent their entire lives in church, in the synagogue, listening to the scriptures, hearing the person expound on the scriptures, explain them, talked about in their homes. But Jesus is saying here that they did not understand the scriptures. There was something that they didn't understand, that the major themes, the reason that the scriptures were written, they really didn't understand. And so Jesus had to open their minds in a supernatural way to understand what they had been taught all those years. And there were two things that they understood. And the first, it says, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day.'" I heard someone say that if, you know, you look at every single page of the Bible, the Old Testament, you're going to see Jesus Christ in every page. In our church in Xochimilco, we're going through Exodus. We've gone through Genesis, and we've gone through Exodus and teaching through it. And so far, I've pretty much found that to be true. He's on every page. It's written about him. Jesus is the purpose of the writing of the Scripture. He's everything. And without him, there's nothing. And so, he said, it's all about me. You didn't miss it. You missed it. You didn't understand it. And then, in a supernatural way, they were able to understand. It's all about you. And then the second thing was, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The second thing, Jesus Christ, it's all about him, and all the world needs to know. Every single person, a knowledge of me needs to cover this earth like the waters covers the sea. In John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So when it said that God had one son and he made him a missionary. You know, what greater cross-cultural experience can you have going from heaven to earth? Jerusalem. In Mark chapter 16, 14, it says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. That 80-year-old woman, we've been commanded to share the gospel with her. Every single person deserves the right to hear about Jesus. Every single person deserves to have what we've been given. Someone said, we talk a lot about the second coming of Jesus when much of the world has never heard about the first. Every person deserves to have what we've been given. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, Jesus says, the scripture says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus here 40 days, and it appears that the major theme of his discussion with his disciples was their need to go into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not sure, but at least it was four different occasions. Five places in the scripture. Possibly one of these is a repeat. Four or five different times, Jesus repeated the command to the same disciples. Go into all the world. Start in Jerusalem, go to Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Just as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Go and make disciples. In Isaiah 54, verse 2, the scripture says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole world. There's a lot of work to be done. Millions that haven't heard the gospel. Millions, probably still, even with all of our technology and television and radio, that still haven't heard of Jesus. But also, there's much that has been done, and there's much that is being done and will be done. You know, I don't sit back and fret, and you know, there's a lot of work to be done in Mexico. And I'm not worried. You know what? I know it's going to get done, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. And it's going to happen. And in, I almost said apocalypsis, in Revelation, slipping into Spanish here, In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And they sang a new song, singing, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" We know how it ends. In the end, we're going to be in heaven, and people from every nation, tribe, and tongue are going to be glorifying God, singing a new song to Jesus Christ. We win. The gospel gets shared everywhere. We know it's going to happen. We don't need to fret. We don't need to worry. We don't need to lay guilt trips on people about it. It's going to happen. The only question is, what part are we going to play? In 1960, evangelical Christians, Christians that believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, Christians that believe that the Bible is the Word of God, 60 million of us in 1960. In the year 2000, there were 480 million evangelicals in the world. By the year 2010, there will be, if it continues, there will be over 800 million evangelicals. The only religion growing, other than the Muslims, who are doing it by having babies. Through evangelism, through sharing. The only religion that is truly growing, evangelical Christians. In places like China, 10,000 people a day receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The missionaries were there up until 1948 when the communist regime took over and kicked them out. I think it was sometime around 1970, Mao Zedong's wife, the premier of China, said that Christianity was dead in China. Gone, a dead religion. They kicked the missionaries out, and so God needed missionaries in China. And you know, there's one way, there's more than one way to be a missionary, more than one type of missionary. I'm born and raised in California, lived in Las Vegas for a while, and I went to Columbia, South Carolina to go to school. That is another culture. Very different. I've been up into New York. Different culture. Very different place. And I guess if they're coming here, they come to California, you're going to say the same thing. Different place at California. Some people might say that coming from San Diego to Ramona. Different place at Ramona. There were no more missionaries in China. God needed missionaries. And it was the communist regime that sent them out. They didn't kill most of the Christians. That's not how they planned to get around them. They uprooted them. They destroyed their lives. And one of the things they did to punish the Christians was to give them the very worst jobs possible. I don't know for you what you consider to be the very worst job possible. A couple of years ago, I remember watching on the news, one of the newscasts, they were doing a special once a week or something on the worst jobs in San Diego County. And each week, the guy would do it for a day. He would do a different job in San Diego. And you'd watch him do the job, and he'd talk about how it was, and people could write in and tell him what the worst job was, you know, talk about their job and say, "I have the worst job." And I remember one day he was scraping up the animals to get ran over on the road, you know, pretty bad job. I don't know what you consider to be the worst job. Hopefully it's not yours. But whatever it is, the people in China, and if you have this profession, I apologize. But in China, they consider it the worst possible profession at the time. And that was mailman. And so they made these Chinese Christians mailmen. They took them, sent them to other parts of the country, uprooted from the rest of their family, and made them mailmen. Now, I don't know about you, but if you want a Christian not evangelizing people, don't make him a mailman. There they are. I got these Christians going door to door. You know, and government sanctioned. You know, it's like better than, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses or whatever, you know. they had a reason to be there, like the Jehovah Witnesses at our doors, right? And so here they are, door to door, these Christian areas. And it was revealed in the late 80s, when China began to open up and we saw what was going on there, that the church, in fact, was not dead, that there was something like close to 50 million Christians in China. Yeah, at the feast, the great feast of the Lamb. In heaven, we're going to be eating egg foo young. 10,000 a day, 50 million now. A lot of Chinese people are going to be in heaven. In northern Africa, 160 churches started every single day of the year. 160 churches every day started in Africa. And the gospel in Latin America, what is Latin America? It's Catholic, right? Today, there will be more evangelical Christians in church throughout all of Latin America than Catholics. God is pouring out his Spirit upon the earth, and people are being saved. Missionaries are going out and they're sharing. Christians are being missionaries in their own towns and sharing with their neighbors. And the church of believers, people that confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is growing. But what are these Christians like? It's kind of a weak Christian. We hear a lot about, you know, these mediocre Christians, you know, this deep, and a mile wide. In 1900, 34,000, it's estimated, about 34,400 believers in Jesus Christ died, became martyrs for their faith. 34,400 martyrs in 1900. This year, 2004, by the end of the year, it is estimated that there will be 167,000 martyrs for Jesus Christ. 167,000. If the trend continues and Jesus tarries, in the year 2025, there will be approximately 210,000 martyrs for Jesus Christ. These are people given a choice. Choose Jesus Christ and death. That is true faith. That's the same faith that the disciples had that turned the world upside down. And it's still going on today, 210,000. If you take all of the Christian martyrs from the day Jesus Christ died on the cross, you take every single martyr that died up into the year 1900, in the year 1900, almost 1,900 years, if you add them all together, there have been more martyrs since 1900 in a little over 100 years than all of the martyrs in the previous 1900 years. Christians are dying for their faith in droves. Why? Because Jesus Christ has changed their lives and they found something worth dying for. It's not a shallow faith. And it's growing and it's spreading all over the world. I was reading an author, and he talked about our need. Why do we go, and why do we share? What is the purpose of sharing? What is our motivation? It's not really because people need Jesus. Oh, that's a big part of it. But that's not the main motivation. I remember listening to a preacher when I was in Virginia, living in Virginia. And he said that it was Jesus' love for us that put him on the cross. And I thought about that. And I thought about what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there sweating blood, praying to God. And he says, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. if there's any other way to redeem mankind, if there's any other path, maybe Buddha, Muhammad. No, no other way to redeem mankind. You got to go to the cross. And he said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. It was the love for the Father that sent Jesus Christ to the cross and his determination to be obedient until the end. We don't go out and share the gospel to help people. We go out and share the gospel because Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross, deserves the reward of his suffering. Someone has said missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. God died. Jesus Christ died on the cross for that 80-year-old woman, and he deserves the reward of his suffering. Oops. That was some effect, huh? He deserves that reward. He died for you. You can take your name. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Rob. For God so loved Joel, Joe, Susie, Amy, that he gave his only begotten son. Those million people, those millions of people that haven't heard of him, for God so loved them. And he deserves the reward of his suffering. God is pouring out his Spirit. We know the end. God wins. We know where it's going. The church is growing. The only question is, what part are we going to play in it? One of my favorite songs is one by Stormy O'Mardian, Mike and Stormy O'Mardian. And it goes like this. I loved it there in that quiet place that you made for me to rest. But now here I stand in the blood and flames, and I have to ask you why. And then Jesus replies, oh, the pastures there for the lambs you see was never meant to be the place to try the souls of men or the place of victory. See, God wins. The gospel gets spread all over the earth. Every nation, tribe, and tongue are going to be worshiping. The only question is, what part are we going to play? Are we going to be a part in the great victory of Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but I want to be a part. And I'm doing my best to be a part and to share the gospel. I shared a number of different verses. He said in Luke 24:36, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, it says that the apostles needed to start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I had an elderly woman from our church. She was sick. She came up to me almost in tears, saying, Pastor, they call me Pastor Pablo in the church there. Pastor Pablo, I'm sorry, but I'm old and I'm sick and I'm poor and there's nothing that I can do to help. And I said, no, you're wrong. I said, you can do the most important thing that this church needs. You can do the most important thing that God wants for missions, and that is pray. That's something every single one of you are capable of doing. You can pray. Jesus said, look, the harvests are white. They're ready. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. You can pray for those workers. You can pray for those that don't know Jesus Christ. You can pray watching the news, looking at RAC. Pray. They're bombing churches. Pray that the Christians there would stand up and show the love of Jesus Christ despite the persecution, and that God would see many more Iraqis before his throne. You have a missionary in Russia, Jody. You can pray for Jody. I don't know if she has to raise financial support or not, but if she needs that, send financial support. write her letters, get her a prayer letter, and pray for what she's doing there. Amy in Slovenia. You have Christy, who's at a Bible school, I think, in Germany, they're starting a new church there. Pray for her and the work that's going on there. The pregnancy care clinic, U-Turn for Christ. All of these things are different things you can get involved in. You have Pottersfield, who's coming here. You got that little invitation. With a little invitation, just giving something as simple as giving that paper to someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, you can change their eternal destiny. How awesome. Someone enters this place on the road to hell, and they leave here going to heaven. How awesome that is. The youth are having their dessert auction. Go buy a cake. Give it to a missionary if you happen to know one. No, please. Don't give me any cakes. I had a visiting friend. He's a pastor, and I had a problem with acid reflux. And, you know, wanting to bless me, you know, he says, "You're fat, brother." That's the problem. You're fat. You got to lose weight. So no cakes. But so many ways you can get involved. Sometimes you have mission trips here. Go on a mission trip. You know, I think, oh, what can I do? No, you can do a lot. You'd be amazed. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary and go out. One of my favorite quotes is by Gordon Groom. It says, "If God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king." But you know, you could probably say that about whatever ministry God has called you to do, whatever it is. I was working at a church, pastor in a church, and the children's ministry leader used to always tell us, the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. We all know that. It's working in the children's ministry. You know, I would take teams all over the world. And when we were there in India, and India's because it's very expensive to go to India. It costs $2,000 for the airfare, and you buy different clothes, and they give you shots, a bunch of shots to go. That's real suffering for some people. You go through all this, and you got to pay for you know, got to pay for them to shoot you up, and you go and you have to meet every week for 3 months, and you go through all this, and you go to India to do what you should be doing right in your church. Yeah. It starts in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You have a sign at your church. You're now entering the mission field. It's true. Each one of us, God has gifted us through the Holy Spirit. Each one of us have a ministry, and we need to employ it. And we need to remember that God's given us a mandate to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you can be a part somehow. Maybe it's just praying. But I shouldn't say just, should I? No. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, Lord. We thank you that you died on the cross, that we might have eternal life. And Lord, it's with hearts of gratefulness, not to gain anything. You've already given us everything. But it's with hearts of thankfulness, Lord, that we want to serve you. Lord, we want to be a part in sharing the gospel with our neighbors and with little old ladies close to death in Thailand. Help us, Lord, whatever it is, to be faithful to what you've called us to do, Lord. Help us to do those things, Lord, that will give you glory and honor, Lord, as more and more people raise their heads and worship to you. Lord, it is our prayer, Lord, that we would be a part in spreading your gospel, spreading a knowledge of you over this entire earth. Strengthen us, Lord, to do that. Help us to trust in you. Help us to expect great things because we have an all-powerful God. There's nothing, nothing too great that you can't do. Lord, I thank you for this church and the hearts, Lord, and I've seen so many people sacrifice and give. I pray that you would bless that, Lord. Lord, that you would take the seeds that are planted and you'd grow it up into a huge crop, Lord. I pray you would take their faithfulness, Lord, and supernaturally change it into souls for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.